Museum of the Moving Image welcomes you to the Pinewood Dialogues Online, an archive of conversations with innovative creative figures in film, television, and digital media. Visit Museum of the Moving Image in New York City or online at www.movingimage.us.
Please join me in welcoming Agnieszka Holland.
Thanks. Hi. I will be very brave because film is very long. And thank you, David. Thank you, Polish Institute. Thank you, Sony Classic. And I'm really glad that I can show the movie here. It's a kind of the, you know, premiere of the movie in New York in some way. And the film opened in Poland a week ago and is playing to the full theaters, which is the biggest satisfaction probably I had in my lifetime, because I never expected that this particular movie can touch the hearts of my favorite audience, and I hope that that is something in the film which really goes straight to the heart of the people, and the people are Polish or American or Jewish or German, it is because we try to make it with the very open and honest approach, I think. And in the same time, we try to be very authentic and true to the reality we are describing and expressing. And it is not a political movie. It's not the movie accusing any kind of nation. It is the movie about human condition and about what one is able to survive and how thin is the line between the good and bad. And I had the greatest collaborators, the actors, you'll see yourself, Robert Więckiewicz, who played the main character, and all others, and the cinematographer and screenwriter, and everybody who have been great on this movie. It was probably the hardest movie I ever did, and I was swearing much more often than on my other movies when I was doing it, and even once I tried to kill the producer, one of the producers. Fortunately, I didn't succeed, but I think he still remembers it very well. So... it was harsh, you know. It was as harsh as it is on the screen, but I hope you will survive it as well, and that we can talk afterwards. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, it's just such a powerful film. I had first heard about this film actually from Michael Barker, who's runs Sony Pictures Classics, and they're distributing the film. And he described it as a masterpiece. And I think he...
Probably was right, yes.
You think so? Okay, that's an easy question to start with. But I think he was responding to was how cinematic it is, that it's a film that, you know, it's such a powerful film in so many ways. But it's working in a purely cinematic way in so many ways, in its use of light and dark, obviously. It's just the way that it's visualized.
It's pretty bright here, actually.
Bright?
Sometimes
bright.
Sometimes it's darker.
Uh-huh.
So you've been lucky you've seen more.
So how did you sort of conceive of the film or start to think of it? Because I did hear that you resisted it at first. I mean, at least the screenwriters said that you were a bit reluctant in the beginning. Is that true?
Yes.
And why were you reluctant?
The story, yeah. I didn't know the story. The story was found by David Chamoun, Canadian writer, and he read it in the newspapers after he found the book, which was out of print, by Robert Marshall, which was published in UK in 80s. And this guy also, it was based on the memoirs of Ignacy Higger and also some stories told by still surviving then Paulina and Mundek Margulies. And he did also the documentary for BBC, going with them to Lvov and going to the sewers. And David bought the rights, the option to the book, and wrote the script. And it was the spec. It means he just...
He just wrote it, not knowing how it would actually get made. Yeah.
And somebody told him, why you will not send it to Agnieszka Holland? That is a great idea. And after he started stalking me, you know. So he sent the script to me. I read the script. I found the script very powerful and very, like, I read a lot of Holocaust scripts because a lot of people are sending me this stuff, memoirs, but also the screenplays. And I found this one, like, better than most of them. But I didn't want to do it. So I told him no. After I came to Toronto Film Festival with some movie, and he contacted my friends, Canadian producers, who I did one movie with, and they came with the second draft of the script. And I said, okay, I can probably think about it if it will be in the original languages, because they wanted, of course, shoot it in English. They said, it's impossible. I said, you know, I cannot do another English-speaking Holocaust Hollywood-like movie with the A-list, not the top of the A-list, because I knew that they will never find a lot of money, but like the bottom of the A-list actor. And I just don't believe in this concept anymore.
And I'm just trying to think who would be cast in that. It's scary. Yeah.
Well, no, you know, it's a lot of good actors, even on the B-list and C-list, it's a lot of good actors. But I just thought that it's not right.
Yeah.
If I consider to spend three years of my life in the sewers, I have to feel that I'm doing it right. So, and after it went back and forth, and it took like 3 years, probably even more. And finally, they came to New Orleans, where I was shooting one episode of Tremé, and they said, "Okay, we'll do it in original languages." Mm-hmm. Immediately, we lost like the half of financing.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So, but we did it in the right way, I think. I believe, I think it was worth it.
Absolutely. Did you think, were you reluctant because you sort of sensed how difficult a production it would be? I mean, you talked about that in your introduction. But
you know, I did two movies from this period and about this subject and wrote another one. And every time you have to spend a lot of your life exactly like making some kind of the journey to this reality, and it's very painful.
Yeah,
I knew that it would be difficult physically, but a lot of movies are difficult. Even romantic comedies sometimes are difficult, right?
Yeah.
But I knew that it's, you know, that after you pay for that, and I thought I did it twice. I don't want to do it another time. But after, it was kind of calling me. And after a while, I started to dream about it. And when I started to dream about it, I knew that probably I have to do it. And I like a lot of things. I like the way the characters are shown in this one. I like the fact that it's so non-compromising. So in some way, you know, without any hinge of the sentimentality and in some way unpredictable to some point. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it has to be shot in the darkness was quite exciting. Because in Poland, before me, only Andrzej Wajda did Canal. And I thought, well, maybe I can do it better. He is very gracious. He said, I did better, but it's not true. So anyway, it was, you know, kind of competition.
And what was it that, I guess, what were the main things that drew you to it? I mean, I think it's, this. You have this, of course, fascinating character, you know, who decides to, you know, to protect these Jews, even though he's sort of a petty crook in the beginning. You know, what was it about him that fascinated you?
You know, he's a simple man, and he's just following in some way instincts, and those instincts can be very, you know, changeable.
Yeah.
It means what fascinated me is how thin is this line between two possibilities, that he can really be their killer or he can be their saver. And he didn't know himself in every moment what will be the next. And I found that it's very, you know, it's as a metaphor, but also as a dramatic kind of the premise is very powerful. And Robert Więckiewicz, who is a great actor, he actually told that he realized that he has to play this character as if he didn't know what will be next.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it in this way. It's why it's so, I think, interesting what he's doing. He never made this kind of, you know, casual psychological kind of the construction of the character. It was very visceral. And in me, even watching this during the editing, I till like, you know, 60% of the movie, I was feeling like that maybe it will end in different way. You know? So that was I think really good. I really like the fact that the Jewish characters are not the faceless, angelic, noble victims only, that they have the real human presence, in that some are good, some are bad, they are hysterical, impatient, selfish, and great, and loving, and that you have all this spectrum of the life. And also the fact that you can live and have the kind of the normal life in the bottom of the hell, that is something which fascinates me.
Yeah.
It was fascinating me in the Robinson Crusoe, but he is much worse. It's spent, you know, 14 months in the darkness with the rats and shit, and still, you know, you make love, you educate your children, you play, you laugh, you cook, you quarrel, you do all the things we are doing when we are living our normal everyday life. And I think it's a lot of layers in the story, and it's certainly also a lot of layers in the movie. So everybody can make his own movie in some way.
You used the word visceral, which is a word that I thought about a lot watching the film. It's such a visceral experience, such a physical experience for the audience. I mean, in so many ways, you just feel what they're going through. What was it like? What was the production of this like? I mean, in terms of working with the actors and actually getting this film made. I mean, you sort of hinted at that at the beginning.
Yeah, well, it was, you know, hardcore.
Hardcore,
yeah. And the actors have been great all the time. And I was really nice to the actors also. But because, you know, they needed it.
Yeah.
And with the rest of the crew, it was like very, you know, stormy. But all the crew was great. And, you know, it was very challenging for Jolanta Delewska, who's a cinematographer, very challenging because I told her, you have to make it really dark, not movie dark, that after you will, you know, work on the print, but the actors really have to act in the way that they don't see the most of the stage. And also I didn't want to have this beautiful counter light, which normally when you are watching the films which plays in the Suez, like Third Man or something, The cinematographer mostly put the big light, you know, in the bottom of the tunnel, and it gives you this cathedral, beautiful kind of the lighting. I didn't want it. So she has very limited, like, possibilities to do something, and it looked that maybe will be nothing to see on the screen by the end. And most of the lights are coming from the practical, from the flashlights and so, and of course they are stronger. And Robert Więckiewicz, for example, he was not only acting, but he was also lighting. So he had to play a very dramatic scene. And in the same time, I told him, or Jolanta told him, listen, in this moment when you are crying, you have don't forget that you have to put the light on Agnieszka, because she has very important line
<Right.
laughs> or reaction. And so it was adventure. Okay. But we shot with two cameras mostly, and it was very tough, technically speaking, yeah. I think. But I think it works. She really did a great job.
It's amazing, yeah.
And you know, yeah, we didn't have enough of time and enough of you know, of money, and you know, it was very cold, and it was German, Polish, Canadian co-production. So after we started shooting in Germany, after 1 week, it was, you know, the Polish-German war started again, you know. So
I was wondering why you wanted to kill your producer.
Well, you know, you cannot not to kill your producer when you are shooting in Germany, right? But it ended well, you know.
Yeah.
It's a total reunion, so it was just some kind of the visceral reaction, exactly.
Right. Okay. Let's take some questions. So raise your hand, and I'll repeat the questions so people can hear. Let's start here.
Physically, what was the most difficult part of shooting itself?
Okay. So what was the most difficult part of shooting for you, physically?
The real sewers. We shot like 20-25% of the scene in the sewers, in the real sewers, and the part, the biggest part was built on the stage. And the production designer did really great work, because you cannot really recognize where it starts, where it ends. But shooting in the real sewers, it was very tough. Communication was awful also, you know, and a lot of people like broke legs, you know, or something. It was like Soviet movie, you know, from the from the Second World War, when you are allowed of 5% of the casualties. So we didn't have so much, but it was really very, very difficult. And they had, you know, they had also to go in this water, which was very cold. It was icy cold, and that was physically very difficult.
Okay, right over here. So the question is, what was the reaction of Polish audiences, particularly in regards to how the Poles were portrayed in the film?
Who?
Polish audience.
Polish audience?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, very good. It means not everybody, of course, but I think it's the movie which really speaks to the very white audience there. And the reaction I had by the critics, but also by the regular viewers who've been writing me and calling me or expressing the things on the internet, except of some right-wing platforms where it was usually very, you know, aggressive. The normal reaction of the people is very emotional, and I think very honest and very, you know, deeply moving.
Okay.
It means, I think, they identify with this story in the way which is surprising to themselves.
Mm. Okay, that's a question.
How the German people react?
Didn't yet, because it will premiere February 6th.
It just opened in Poland.
It just opened in Poland. It was first territory.
Okay. But there was a question back there.
Yeah, I have one question. Were the underground scenes shot in one city or several cities, and what city was it?
The most of the underground was in the city of Łódź, in Poland. They have fantastic undergrounds, you know, if you like... If you like sewers, they are really worthy to watch. And some we did in Leipzig, and one scene in Berlin. But I visited much more, so I know what I'm talking about.
Had you spent much time in sewers before this? What's it like?
No, it was my first. But we went to Lvov. To the real sewers, and they've been the worst. It means it was really, after 1 hour, we all escaped it. We were unable to stay there any longer.
Okay. Yeah, back there? No? Okay. So there are a number of survivors. The girl, Christina, who pokes up at the out of the sewer. She wrote a book about her experiences. Was she involved with the film at all?
Absolutely not, because, you know, it's a stupid story, you know. It was the Canadian producers who've been, like, following the datas, and they, like, thought that she's not living anymore or something. So I met her only after I finished the shooting and read the book afterward, the book she wrote about her experience. It means a very beautiful book, which was published in Poland to the huge success. And in this moment, she was the only survivor. It means all others, older people died, and her little brother was killed in Israel. And she lives in New York, in Long Island, I think. And she's a retired dentist and has two sons, and she's wonderful, absolutely wonderful. But I met also the children of the survivors and the grandchildren of the survivors, and by now the family is growing, and, you know, probably I met like 10 already.
And in terms of traumatic invention, incidents that were invented for the film was obviously based on a true story, but what elements were brought in to give it kind of a narrative impact? The whole story about the baby is heartbreaking and powerful.
The story of the baby is true. The story of the baby is true, and I think it wasn't so uncommon story, because the same story happened to my family, to the family of my father, who was hiding on the attic of their house in Węgrów, and it was like probably 15 or 20 people crowded there, and the baby was crying, and they killed the baby.
Wow.
And the same story I read in the book of by Polish writer Hanna Kral. So probably in those situations it was some kind of the tragic but necessary choice. So that it was true. We changed, it was more characters in the real story. It was probably like 5 or 6 more characters. And we, like, combined some characters, and we changed some names of the characters when we thought that maybe if somebody has the relatives, it can be, you know, offensive to them. Bortnik is the character which is combined from 3 characters, the Ukrainian guy. And the rest, it was how it was. Yeah. It means Mundek went to the Janowska camp, it's true. The selection happened. It means it was much more people in the first chamber, and after they decided to make the selection, it was very heartbreaking for everybody. And the flow happened really. So, yeah, it was very close to the reality, actually.
And I do want to ask you, how did this film sort of change your thinking about what made the, you know, the basic question, that the sort of primal question of just how the Holocaust was possible? You said that the film made you sort of think about what people are capable of, both the good and evil. And what did you sort of...
Well, it didn't change too much, you know. It means I think that it's one of the most important questions the humanity has after 20th century. And I don't think that we will know the answer to this question. But I think that we have, you know, over and over again ask this question without believing that somebody will answer. And even that we are approaching the truth or something, I think that it's just, we have to, as the way I see it, I think that we have to make this journey to make this question really our personal question, and not only the question from the past, which is some kind of the historical fact. I think that it can happen any moment. That it's kind of the virus, and probably we are now very close to something like that again.
Mm-hmm. But go ahead.
We didn't find the daughter, and we've been looking for her through the different institutions, and probably she's not alive anymore. We found adopted grandchildren of Wanda Socha. I mean, she remarried after, and she had she was the mother-in-law to the children, and the grandchildren are living, and they are, you know, they've been very touched by the story. But not Stefcia, we didn't meet her, we didn't find her.
Okay, let's take a few more right here.
Well, she, you know, first, it means I was, of course, afraid because, you know, not only she was alive, but I had to show her the movie, you know. It's always a very difficult moment for the filmmaker to face the real character. But she reacted very well. It means she first time I show we shown it to her when it wasn't finished yet. I wanted to have the possibility to adjust something, you know, after her eventual remarks, but she was practically crying all the time. And second time it was in Toronto during the gala premiere at the festival, and then she was also very emotional. And she said to me, "It's all is true. It was exactly like that." She had impression, which was pretty painful impression, that she went back. But she was very gracious and very brave, you know. And after she came to the stage. On this, and it was a very emotional moment to everybody, you know. All the huge room was crying, including myself.
Mm, wow. Was the flooding true? Or that, was that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Wow.
What was changed also, the character played by Szczepek, he didn't die, and he was helping Socha in some way till the end. Mm. And it was also the third man who was helping a bit. So it was also reduced.
Hmm.
Did you invite her to come today?
Christina? Yes, we did, but she's in the Caribbean islands.
Oh, she is smart.
Yeah. St. Martin, I think.
She's
70-something.
72,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, but she looks, you know, she's very young, youthful.
Okay, down here. Yeah, it's down here, then back there. Go ahead.
It's maybe too early to say, but what is the reaction of the younger generation to this film?
Yeah, can you talk about the reaction of younger generation to the film?
Well, you know, I didn't make the study, but it was in Poland. It's mostly the people who are going to the theater, and after first weekend we had over 150 people of admission for 400 copies, which is good, very good. And most of the audience, it was young people, and they reacted very, very, very well. How it will be in different places, I don't know. But when I was showing the film in States or in Canada at the festivals or the screenings, young people reacted well. I don't see the big difference in the reaction between the older people and younger people here.
Go ahead. Oh, okay. Where were the above ground? The exterior scenes, where were they photographed?
Where it was shot?
What was Lwów?
Lwów was Warsaw, Piotrków Trybunalski, Łódź, Leipzig, and some mud paintings also. So. Well, we tried to do our best, of course, with the, you know, money we had. But I'm pretty good with the low budget. So.
Okay. Well, you're very good with low budget. I just want to thank you. This is such an extraordinary film. So thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. The Pinewood Dialogues at Museum of the Moving Image are made possible by generous support from the Pannonia Foundation. To learn more about the museum, visit www.movingimage.us.